Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Ron is not with us today.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the host of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're speaking again with Amber Blackburn. You may recall Amber was on our show in 2019 about migraines. And although she didn't discuss it earlier, it's our understanding that she also has lupus. She is a trained nurse, blogger, and patient advocate. She's joining us today to talk about her experience during COVID.
And hi, Amber. I love your blog, just so you know.
Hi. Thank you. So glad to be here.
Great.
Amber, how has the pandemic affected your health? And I understand that you actually had COVID?
I did. It was really early in 2020, before they really even started testing it.
Okay.
But after I had the vaccine, I was very sure that that's what I had, because I felt just as bad with the vaccine as I did for those 2.5 weeks I had it back in January.
Oh, okay.
As far as my overall health,
mm-hmm.
it's been okay. I mean, I think it's more of a mental issue at this point than physical stress by being cooped up in my home for 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's been the biggest issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, having lupus, which is an autoimmune disease, you have to be really cautious, right?
Right. I've actually had 3 of my doctors tell me that I'm absolutely not to leave the house because I'm just too high risk.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry. And how has COVID affected, you know, you as a lupus patient?
It's been, like I said, more mental, but getting out to just to even drive around is helpful at this point. As far as the lupus goes, like she said, I'm at higher risk because my immune system doesn't work. My
sure.
immune system is fighting off my body rather than fighting off all the bugs that it should be. And they don't think people with autoimmune diseases will launch enough of an immune response to the bug.
Okay. Right. Okay. That, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, for sure. That's really important.
Yeah.
As far as actually having the COVID, I was mm-hmm. in bed for about 2 to 3 weeks and
wow.
lost over 15 pounds.
Oh,
and
wow.
my mom, who is not a sick person, mm-hmm. she was in bed for 7 to 10 days, and I don't ever remember her being in bed that long my entire life.
Wow.
Oh, so it hit her hard too.
Yeah. Actually, Jean and I think that we might have also had it very early on.
Around October.
Yeah, in October before it actually got even in the news.
Right.
But it may have been the flu.
I think it's very possible.
It may have been the flu, but if it was the flu, whatever it was,
it hit us hard.
I never have been that sick
right.
that I remembered. So we know how that is.
It's pretty awful.
Yeah. Amber, how have you been able to maintain your friendships during COVID?
I'm really grateful for my close non-loopy friends. Us in the lupus community often call ourselves loopies, so
okay.
that's what that is.
Okay.
But I'm really thankful. I have a couple of close people who are not in the autoimmune community, and we generally talk several times a week, and I'm really thankful because most of them will still invite me to do things and mm-hmm. include me, even though they know I can't come.
Sure.
And just being invited is, like, great. It means the world to me because I feel so isolated.
Sure.
But then I also have some friends in the lupus community, and we stay up to date probably daily, but FaceTime and Marco Polo have become my best friend during the COVID COVID quarantine.
What is Marco Polo?
That was going to be my question.
Marco Polo is like a video app.
Okay.
And so you can't talk back and forth like we are, but like I can record, you know, situation, you know, hey, this is what's going on, this is how it's going, whatever, and it sends to them, and then they can do a video reply back to me.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like,
so
a,
like, it's nice if I have a friend who's a teacher,
okay,
and she can't always answer me, but I can send my video and she can watch it. And then when she has time later in the day, she can get back to me whenever she wants.
Oh, I like that. I'll have to check into
it's
that.
It's like a video voicemail.
It's very, very good.
Yeah, I'm going to put that in my notes here.
Very cool. Thank you. And Amber, how has the pandemic changed the way that you receive healthcare?
I think the biggest change was all of the virtual appointments.
Okay.
I think I only went for maybe 3 or 4 regular appointments in the last year and a half. And those were things like Botox for my migraines or mm-hmm. my infusion appointments that can't be done virtually, obviously.
Sure.
Right, right.
But otherwise, pretty much everything was virtual. It's, which I don't have a problem with, and I think is great for the healthcare system from the mm-hmm. point of view of a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also can be frustrating because obviously those appointments can't be as in depth as what you may need.
Sure. Sure.
You know, because they can't physically assess you. They can't, you know, just whatever they can fit on their screen.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. It's kind of hard to do a, I went to a doctor yesterday and, you know, rather than a virtual, I actually went in person and he was looking, he was actually examining me and looking for previous scars from surgery.
Oh.
Because
yeah.
he said, when we do this next surgery, I want to know, is there mesh underneath that I'm going
right.
to have to go through? I'm like, wow, never even thought about
right.
that.
Right, and that would have been hard to do with your cell phone.
Yeah, that would have been near impossible to do.
Right, well, she also had a sore throat, and she asked the virtual doctor if they could look down her throat
yeah.
with the phone.
Yeah, I said, if I hold it like this, how about up the nose? Oh, well.
You know, I actually have seen they now make these cameras for your ears.
Oh,
wow.
That connect to your phone. So you can look in your ear and see everything in there and send pictures, apparently.
Oh, well, now I want to get that just to look in my own ear.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember where I saw that. I think it was a doctor I followed on TikTok, maybe.
Okay. Okay, great. Oh, we're on TikTok now. Did you see that?
Are you? No, I didn't.
Oh, our very first TikTok. I'm so excited.
I will have to look for it.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Amber, what have you found to be the most helpful during a lupus flare?
For me, my biggest help is heat.
Heat?
Whether it be a hot bath or mm-hmm. a heating pad or a heated throw or something. That gives me the most relief. I love to take hot baths. And when I'm really hurting, mm-hmm. I may take 3 or 4 hot baths a day.
Oh,
if
okay.
I could figure out how to stay in a hot bath all day without turning into a raisin and not getting the water cold, mm-hmm. I would be there.
So a hot tub would be right up your alley.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Then in general, you know, just trying to rest. Overall, mm-hmm. trying to avoid the sun and the heat, because the heat and the sun both make it work. My flares worse.
Okay.
So
very counterintuitive, right?
Yeah, but no, yeah,
yeah,
I've heard
exactly.
sunshine. Yeah,
yeah, you got to limit the sun exposure,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
right.
Over the past year or so, what do you what has self-care done for your getting through COVID? What do you
right. I think like anything, self-care goes in waves. You know, sometimes I'm really good about remembering to do things for me.
Mm-hmm.
And other times, that's not the first thing I'm thinking about. I would love to go out and get a manicure and a pedicure, but that's probably been, you know, 18 months ago. I have finally gotten out and had my hair colored and cut, which is one of my favorite things to do, because I feel like it's one of the very few things I can actually control
mm-hmm.
in my life. And so I do enjoy that, but basically around the house, you know, trying to use bath bombs or I've started journaling again,
okay.
which has been really good.
That's got to help your blog too, right?
Yeah, it does.
That's
those
good.
Those are the big things I try and do.
Right. That's good.
Yeah.
How about aromatherapy? That might be good.
I do actually use some essential oils.
Okay.
And I use especially those for my migraines.
Okay.
Okay.
They have proven to be very helpful.
Which ones do you like?
Every brand has their own migraine type.
Okay.
Mix.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one I'm using but it always has to have peppermint in it. Peppermint
okay.
is really good for migraines.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm gonna make
it.
It
also
that.
Helps with nausea too.
Oh sure.
Oh yeah.
Right,
absolutely.
Right. And Amber, you said that you you did get your COVID-19 vaccine, and I guess things didn't go well with that.
It didn't go badly, but okay. It took a while for me to finally get approved, okay. because my rheumatologist wanted to make sure that she had plenty of data on how patients with autoimmune conditions did with the vaccine. And when it was very first released, there was very little data on that. So I think it was in April when I got my first one. And then I got my last one at the end of May, and it was really rough. I mean, for about 36 hours, I was down for the count, had 102 fever,
wow.
everything that could possibly hurt. But thankfully, it only lasted about 36 hours, and then it was back to normal. So okay. I was grateful for that.
Okay. Yeah, but that's, yeah, still no fun.
No, for sure.
No.
Okay, well, on to the tips, hints, and tricks lightning round for today's show. This is a new thing for our show.
Yeah, it's like a game show.
Yes. Oh. 10 questions. You get 10 points for each question. Are you ready, Amber?
Ready.
Okay. Why is a positive attitude important to you?
Positive attitude is very important to me because sometimes it's the only thing we have. You know, when everything else is failing, it's very easy to get stuck in a depressive state and have that awful attitude. But when you're chronically ill, it's easy to let it overtake you. But the positive attitude can make things a little bit brighter sometimes if you really try and look at the good things in life, even if it's something as small as, you know, you took the trash to the dumpster and you walked the whole way, you know, just something positive for each day.
Find something positive. I love that.
Yeah, that's a wonderful answer. Thank you.
Great answer. 10 points. How do you keep that positive attitude during COVID?
Well, I'd be lying if I said I was positive all the time.
Yeah.
Because that's not the case.
Right.
But I've had plenty of woe is me days. It's hard when you see people, your friends and whatnot, getting back out into the public and going and doing things and shopping. And like, I just moved into a new apartment 6 weeks ago, and I would love to be able to go out and get decor items, mm-hmm. and I can't.
Okay.
And so it really does get to you, mm-hmm. after a while.
Sure.
But I just, like I said, I just try and find one good thing a day. And then I also started doing gratitude practice, finding, you know, 3 things a day that I'm grateful for. And that kind of helps me stay on the right train of thought.
I love that answer.
Yeah, that's a wonderful answer. Thank you.
10 points. Okay. What is your go-to meditation guide?
I'm not great at meditating, honestly.
Okay.
My brain never shuts fully off.
Okay.
And so, mm-hmm.
Well, that's okay.
I can do a couple of minutes, and then my brain's off into another topic, and I'm done.
That's all right. We'll still give you 10 points.
Yeah, 10 points for honesty there.
Right. Do you have any tricks that help you deal with stress?
I think what helps me the most, mm-hmm. is talking about what's going on. It allows me to kind of get that negative energy out, and also lets me get suggestions from people who are closest to me about how they would deal with it or how I could deal with it. I think, like I said, the biggest thing for me is just talking it out. It helps me get it out of my brain.
That's a good answer. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a wonderful answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess journaling too is like kind of like a self-talk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Great.
Absolutely.
Wonderful answer. Thank you. 10 points.
What do you always bring with you to the doctor's office?
My list of questions.
Okay.
I always try and I recommend this for everybody. Mm-hmm. Even if you're just going in for a routine checkup, if there's any questions you have, write them down, because you get in the office and you get to talking about whatever, and then your questions are gone, and you get home and you're like, well, dang,
mm-hmm.
you're right.
I didn't ask about that.
You have to
email them or wait to your next appointment. So I always try and make a list of questions going into my appointments.
Excellent. Excellent answer.
Yeah. Excellent.
And if it's a new appointment, I take somebody with me.
Oh yeah. That's a really good tip.
If it's a new specialist, because mm-hmm. it's hard to remember everything that they said,
mm-hmm.
and that other person helps to make sure your questions get answered, because they're paying attention to that more so than you are when you're getting newly diagnosed with something.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. Another 10 points.
Okay. What do you use as a distraction during long waits at a doctor's office?
I always have my phone with me. So I either scroll through social media or I have an app on my phone that's like a coloring app.
Okay.
And that kind of calms me down. So
that's good.
Those are the things that I always have.
That's good.
Yeah, that's nice. I haven't heard of that before, so we'll have to check that one out too.
Yeah.
Another great tip. Thank you. 10 points.
It's pretty cool. I use it a lot when I'm in pain. It's called mm-hmm. Happy Color.
Happy Color. Oh.
Okay.
Something to focus on.
Right. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Other than just the fact that I'm hurting so badly.
Right. I know we did a big splurge and got Oculus goggles.
Oh, that's fun.
And they have one that's pottery, and you kind of form the pots with your hands, and then you paint them or decorate them in all sorts
of. Oh,
wow. And it sounds unusual, but it's a lot of fun to do.
Because I bet it would be.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. What do you do during a pain flare?
Kind of depends on the day and how bad the pain is. Sometimes I just need to get up and move a little bit. Especially mm-hmm. in the mornings, I just need to kind of get up and walk around my apartment and kind of get things
circulating
because I've been stiff all night. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I always take a good hot bath.
Mm-hmm.
And some days, instead of moving, I just need to take a day and rest.
Okay.
It just kind of depends on how bad the pain is and mm-hmm. what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, take that recovery day. That's a wonderful answer. Thank you. 10 points.
What are your three favorite recreational pursuits?
When the weather's a little cooler than 95, I enjoy walking or going on easy, nature hikes.
Uh-huh.
I also love to be in the water. I grew up on the lake and I miss it because I haven't been able to go in a few years. And then, just talking with my friends. I know that's not a recreation necessarily.
Oh, it is. Sure it is.
Just being able to sit down and really have a full conversation, mm-hmm. not just about tidbits that we often do,
Right.
Yeah. And it's kind of hard to do now, even with technology, to have a good sit down.
That's one of the things I'm missing most is I have not seen someone that isn't my mom, my dad, and my sister mm-hmm. since January of 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The same faces. Yeah. We feel you there.
I love them.
Yes.
I love them, but I'm ready to, get face to face with some of my friends.
Sure. Well, the day is coming.
Yes. We're really hoping.
We hope.
We really, really we hope. Well, another wonderful answer. Thank you.
What animal best reflects your personality?
I really had trouble with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody suggested a horse to me because they're so steady mm-hmm. and kind and that kind of thing. What automatically came to my mind was probably a dog.
Okay,
a puppy dog because I like to be involved in everything and, and I feel like I'm a pretty loving person. So
I love that answer.
Those are both very sweet answers.
Yes, excellent answers.
Thank you.
10 points. What do you do to treat yourself?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, I just moved into a new apartment. So lately, my focus has gone into decorating the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been spending most of my money on that. But probably my favorite treat is ice cream. My waistline probably doesn't love it, but I love it.
I hear you.
We were talking the other day, my mom and I were talking about when we went to Italy back when the world was
normal
the way it was. And I said, I lost 10 pounds during that trip, but I did stop and eat gelato at every gelato place we passed. And
probably because you were walking.
Right.
A lot of
so it did balance out, but I did have
a lot of gelato.
I love ice cream. It's my favorite thing.
And they just have so many different flavors out there. Oh, yeah.
Well, you did a great job on our tips.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, 100 points. We have a winner. Mm-hmm. And Amber, thank you so much again for joining us. And
do you have any additional? Oh, sorry.
We walked
additional
on you.
Tips?
Yes.
Yes. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on you.
I think my biggest tips for anybody who's recently diagnosed or they have someone in their life that is, first would just be to do your own research. Learn about your disease, learn about treatment options and all the things. So that way, when you go to your doctor's office, you can have an actual conversation about your condition and what treatment method they want to take on. Because otherwise, I feel like they just kind of throw everything at you and then you're done.
Right.
So being your own advocate is really important. And that kind of goes along with number two. No one can ever advocate for you like you can.
Okay,
so don't be afraid to stand up to for yourself if you need to, because nobody's ever going to know what you need more than you know what you need. And I think we oftentimes get so intimidated when we go into doctor's offices that we feel like we don't want to, you know, make them upset by telling them that their treatment isn't working, when in the long run, from the other side of things, most doctors don't, you know, they're not going to get angry with you. They want to actually help you. So you just have to be honest. And then my third and final tip would be to track your symptoms.
Okay.
This can be helpful with any condition, you know, just what you felt every day, if you took any medicine for, you know, your extra pain. If some people will even track their diet, because sometimes you can see like trends. And by tracking, it allows you and your doctor to see if there are any trends that they might be able to treat.
Well, again, wonderful advice. And coming from someone who definitely, you know, like you've been there and you've walked the walk as a nurse. And so I think you, and as a patient and an advocate. So it's wonderful to hear advice from you, because it's always so poignant.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us today. Again, we're so happy to have you on the show. How can our listeners learn more about you?
My website is theworldseesnormal.com. And then my Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter are all just World Sees Normal, one word.
Okay, okay, thank you.
Thank you for joining us again today. And we're looking forward to your next blog post. I think it's been a little bit.
It has been. I've kind of hit some block there, so it's been a while, but I'm working on some.
Okay, good. Because we really enjoy, even just your writing style is really wonderful, and it's a pleasure to read your blog.
I appreciate that.
And if our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com. We have a website, podcastdx.com. We're found on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.